The Lord be with you.
With your
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I am removed from the stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes.' He called in his master's debtors one by one. To the first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 measures of olive oil. He said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. Then to another he said, "And you, how much do you owe?" He replied, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, "Here is your promissory note, write one for 80. And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently, for the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than the children of light. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning to everybody. I can see that you are all Catholic because the front seats are wide open, lots of space up there. All the back seats are full. I actually think it would be a good fundraiser for a parish, like to have a raffle and auction off the back seats. No, these ones are reserved for the one who won the... All the ghetto seats up in the front, that's where you sit. If you don't, probably the church has something to say about that, but anyway. It's great to be here. Gorgeous weather, gorgeous faces, gorgeous place. You know, it's going to be a great day. You got the consecrated women preaching at you, so, you know, doesn't get better than that. We are still early on in the year, but we are continuing this ongoing theme of what does it mean that Christ is King to us? Here in Random Christi members and friends of Random Christi, our spirituality has a very strong streak of Christ the King in it. Actually, our motto is "Thy Kingdom Come." So talking about the fact that if there's a kingdom, then obviously there's a king in the kingdom. So we're a very kingdom-oriented spirituality. And this month, the theme is really just, it's titled very simply, you know, "The Lord of Life and History." And what does that actually mean to us? And if you don't know the answer, I'll bet the consecrated women will give it to you, okay? But I'm going to put in my 2 cents right now. There's 3 different things I'd like to mention. First of all, we're in November, and this is the month of the Feast of Christ the King, which we also refer to as Random Christi Day. That is our day. We're going to have the RC Day celebration up in Greenwich again this year, and then the following year you guys get to host again. But this year, you're cordially invited to make the trip. But the Feast of Christ the King, you're going to notice liturgically all the readings gradually are going to be focused more and more towards the end times. And why is that? Because ultimately, if our Lord is not a king of this world, so to speak, He is a king of this world and wants to be, but he's not simply a temporal power. He's not just a politician. And the kingdom of Christ is not something that is measured just by the passing of years and the rise and fall of kingdoms. His is a kingdom that lasts for eternity. And ultimately, he is a king of hearts more than anything else. So all of the readings that we're reading are going to gradually be talking about the end times, because that's going to... In the end times, there's only going to be one thing left, God and his kingdom, and then, you know, everything else that kind of crumbles, and we're going to be kind of face to face with the one supreme reality, with the thing that we were made for, and the God who made us out of love. So that's the first thing. Secondly, I think it's also very apropos because we are in an election season. We just had an election, and we can, if we're not careful, we can get messianic about our politicians. Either messianic in the sense that, geez, now the U.S. is going to fall off the face of the map because the politicians I voted for lost, or the other way around, thinking, okay, well, The Messiah has arrived. We've elected him in. And neither is true. Okay? It's important to put things into context. Politics is important. We need to be active. We need to know what's going on. We need to know, you know, for example, in New York, we had Proposition 1, which unfortunately sailed through. Shouldn't have, but it did. So we need to be active. We need to be educated. We need to be engaged. We need to vote well. All those things are true. But in the end of the day, Christ is King no matter what. We could be in the Stalin's Soviet Union, in the Gulag Archipelago, and Christ would still be King. His kingdom is greater, and we need to always keep that in mind. Ultimately, He is the King of our hearts. And at a season like this, it's always important to put things into context. Thirdly, I think it's also very apropos that the Holy Father just wrote an encyclical. It's not a very long one. You're all cordially invited to read it. It's on the Sacred Heart, which is closely tied to the whole concept of Christ the King. And I'd just like to touch on a couple of points because it also finally touches with our gospel. In the end, you know, he says a lot of beautiful things. I need to read it better because, frankly, I was sleepy during part of my readings. So I've got to go back and reread parts. But in the end, he kind of brings things to a conclusion with two points. He says, ultimately, for Christ, why would God reveal, you know, the Sacred Heart? Well, ultimately, it is so that in order to bring us to a loving and trusting confidence in Him. The Sacred Heart devotion came in a particular moment of time when there was a heresy called Jansenism, which was extremely rigorous. And our Holy Father is concerned with some kind of, he would refer to them as neo-Jansenist trends. The idea being that when we focus on our religion is all about being righteous, now being righteous in the proper sense of the word is absolutely true. But when our religion is only focused on being righteous and quote-unquote sin-free, okay, then we lose track of the fact that, first of all, none of us is going to make it. None of us is going to be righteous and sin-free. We are fallen creatures, and therefore, Christ, more than anything, when he became incarnate, did so that we could learn to love God. Looking at the Christ child in a cradle and saying, how can you fear this? God has made himself so available, so tender, so approachable. This is the God that we worship, okay? And from that comes a whole apostolic dimension, though. Once we enter into this intimate and very personal and tender love of our God, where it becomes something co-natural, he's a person that we know, that we trust, that we love, then it will be the most natural thing in the world to spread that love, to be apostolic, which kind of finally ties down what today's gospel is about. Today's gospel is one of those that always shocks people. It says, Jesus is praising the guy for lying and cheating and stealing and doing all the things that we're not supposed to do. What's up with that? Okay? Well, what Jesus is truly praising is this, the final point. He says, the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than the children of light. Why? Because when the children of this world are fundamentally selfish, that's what original sin comes down to, but when we live in the world selfishly, we will constantly be looking at the rest of the world as something we can gain from, which means that there's always kind of an outward gaze, right? Because it's like, how can I make good on everybody else and everything else around me? Now, if we are truly in love with Christ and want to establish his kingdom in a similar way, we should also have an outward gaze, but it's no longer about us. And in that sense, if for ordinary Catholics, what Jesus says is absolutely true. The children of this world seem to be more prudent in going out into the world and getting stuff done than the children of light. But there's one exception to that rule, and it's this. The saints. Great saints are men and women, like St. Paul, for example. Great saints are men and women who look at the world as a harvest field, to use Christ's own image, and therefore are driven to constantly bring Christ into the world. And this is the point that Christ is ultimately making. And this, like I said, all of this, I'm sorry to give you so many different disconnected points, but they all basically tie up in this one idea that we are in the month of Christ the King. And this retreat ultimately is about what does it mean that Christ is our King. So I am sure that the Lord is going to give each one of us a lot of lights, a lot of inspirations this morning. And my invitation is, let's take advantage of every gift and grace that God wants to give us this morning so that he can become more and more King of our hearts and we can help establish his kingdom around us. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.